Tyria had put off her regalia whilst on board, redressing in her old tunic and kilt. The Ottomade did not stand on the ceremony of her exalted rank. Instead, she chose to take a turn at the oars with the hares. Sitting on the bench alongside Colour Sergeant O'Crag, she rowed out the late night watch with both of them pulling lustily on a long sweep oar. The sergeant, a big sturdy hare, was usually taciturn by nature, seldom questioning things. But as they toiled together, he murmured to Tyria,
"Begging your pardon, miss, but are you sure we're going the right way?"
He paused a while before voicing his thoughts.
"What I means is this. When you're surrounded by water, everything looks the blooming same, miss. How do you suppose Captain Major Frank knows where this here Green Isle is?"
Tyria did not really know, but she thought up an answer.
"I expect he knows by the position of the moon and stars. Though in the daytime, the captain steers by the sun, which always rises in the east and sets in the west. Also, we have our osprey. If the ship strays off course, old Pandion can fly out and find the right way to go."
Sergeant O'Crag was satisfied with their explanation.
"Thank you, miss. 'Tis good to know. Though, if 'twas me steering by those stars, we'd soon be lost. Have you ever seen how many stars there is in the sky at night?"
Tyria turned her gaze upward. What the sergeant said was true. On first glance, there seemed to be the usual amount of stars. But as she continued to look, more stars than she had ever dreamed of became visible. All the vast tracts of the dark night sky were aglitter with innumerable pinpoints of light. Some large, some small, others so minute that they resembled dust, covering infinite areas of the uncharted dark vaults. It was a staggering sight. Tyria lowered her eyes, blinking as she agreed with her companion.
"Good grief, Sergeant. There seems to be more stars than sky up there. I've never looked long enough to notice it before. It's almost beyond belief."
As they bent their backs to the oar stroke, Sergeant O'Crag came up with another question.
"What do you suppose they really are, miss?"
This time, Tyria was stuck for an answer.
"I don't know. I've never really thought about it. Have you any ideas, Sergeant?"
He surprised her with his reply.
"They're the spirits of warriors, miss. Every brave beast that ever fell in battle. Leastways, that's what old Colonel Gorsebloom used to tell me when I was naught but a little leveret. The Colonel brought me up, you see. I don't recall having no parents, miss."
Tyria glanced sideways at her hulking oar mate. He looked embarrassed by his own words. She gave him a friendly smile.
"Really? I wonder what made him say that?"
O'Crag shrugged.
"'Cause I asked him. The Colonel taught me this here poem about stars. Would you like to hear it, miss?"
Tyria replied readily.
"I'd love to, if you can still remember it."
The colour sergeant winked at her.
"Course I can. Just listen to this."
Proudly, he recited the poem taught to him by his old mentor.
"There are many places a spirit may rest when life's long march has ended. Every creature returns to its home, exactly as nature intended. The cowards and traitors, the liars and cheats, each in their turn is awarded some place that they deserve to go, as their actions in life accorded. Those who proved untrue to their friends lie thick in the dust of the earth, trodden on forever by all to show what treachery's worth. In the mud of swamps, in rotting weeds, they lie imprisoned by evil misdeeds. But the warriors true, the brave of heart, who valiantly upheld the right, they are raised on high to the velvet sky, bringing light to the darkness of night. They'll stand there as long as the sky will. Their honour in brightness will glow, a lesson to see for eternity of where the real warriors go. So ere my eyelids close in sleep, these are the words I will say. May I have the courage and faithfulness that my spirit should join them one day.